You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, August 26th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes.
What's in, host Greg? How are you doing?
I am excellent, Tim. How are you?
Me too. I'm feeling good this morning. Woke up and I'm like, I'm ready for today, everybody.
Woo! Yeah. I'll tell you what, Tim. It snuck up on me yesterday that Gamescom was a real thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and that's not to insult Gamescom. I mean the fact that, of course, we're all work from home, so you're in this. You know, that's just what life is. And it was like after the sixth hour of programming yesterday, that's when I was like, man, this is Gamescom. As if it was a real Gamescom. As if we exactly. were covering a full blown video games are back. Everything's normal.
Hey, dude! Shout out to Gamescom though. I love that, and more so, shout out to Jeff Keighley, honestly, for kind of like doing the damn thing. I've been saying it forever, and it's just becoming more and more of a reality. I wasn't able to join you guys for his E3 show this year, but I was watching along, and I was so impressed by what he was doing there. Never seen something like that at E3 before, and here we have the third opening night live, finally one of substance, and it was extremely substantive. So, substantial? Yeah, substantial.
Extremely substantive, Tim. I'll
yeah, yeah, yeah. Either way, it was both. And I was extremely happy with that. So can't wait for Game Awards next year. And I love this idea that we might be moving towards a future. Well, okay, yeah, end of this year. Might be moving towards a future where we are getting every year kind of like these three big beats from Keighley, where it's the E3 show, the Gamescom show, and Game Awards. It's super awesome. What that means for E3 in tandem with all that, I don't know.
Is that too much? Even before I ascended to be the face of E3 2021, all right, I had been saying, and I will continue to say afterwards, that Jeff Keighley should just have the keys of the kingdom. You know what I mean? Yes, let Keighley do his thing. Let it be this tentpole structure, right? Of whatever Summer Games Fest he wants to evolve that into. But Gamescom and then, or, you know, now Opening Night Live and then Game Awards, right? And even if it's just Opening Night Live and Game Awards, and that's how he goes around, has these giant things. If he can get out there and if he can have the fucking Halo Infinite release date and Xbox
and Horizon.
And Horizon. Yeah, I was making an Xbox point though. If you can get all these big things and assemble them all there, sure, go for it. Be it.
But I mean, to me, I know you know this too, but like to me, the most important thing is that both were there. It was the PlayStation and Xbox, the biggest news that either company has to give right now. And it's on this one shared stage. That is such a key point that like I really want to keep hitting home because like we have never seen this before and I never thought we'd ever see it. And it's only possible because of this stage that has been created and supported by so many different developers and publishers. And as we see more devs and publishers kind of do their own thing successfully, like when we look at things like Ubisoft Forward, which is such a vast improvement over what we used to see from like Konami's press conferences back in the day.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But for them to be able to completely own their own message and go out there in a Nintendo Direct like way, I think really works well in tandem with these share the stage for big announcements where we're actually kind of rival style competing with each other for the hype.
But everybody, let's take note. If you're going to save a big announcement for Jeff Keighley, just tell us you're going to do that. Mm-hmm. Just save into your conference. Tune into Opening Night Live. We're going to have something really exciting.
Or just schedule things differently, like after talk about it.
Could we not have done Xbox today? I don't see why not. You know what I mean?
I don't see why not. That sounds really nice.
You know what else sounds really nice? Talking about video game news, such as Martin Luther King coming to Fortnite, Halo Infinite's PC specs being released, and the designer of the NES and the SNES retiring. Man, I fucked up every one of those bullet points. Doesn't matter. It's been a long week. We're going to cover all this and more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in with your questions, your comments, your concerns, your opinions about the daily video game news to be read here on the show. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you could be a Patreon producer. You could get the show ad-free. You could get the show with the exclusive post show we do each and every weekday. Plus, you could have a bevy of benefits for other things like PS I Love You, XOXO, the XCast, GamesCast, and a whole bunch of exclusive shows you can only get on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. But if you have no bucks to toss, it's no big deal. We can see you over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just like CJ Rock 32, Fraud Rodriguez Film, Frankfurter are all watching live right now. Of course, they have a special job. If we get something wrong, they need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, Gamescom is upon us. It is actually then I feel like the flare has been shot into the sky for the fall rush to begin. PS I Love You XOXO is live right now with two huge previews. Myself and Blessing played a lot of Deathloop, 5 hours of Deathloop, and have nothing but nice things to say about it. Myself and Janet played a lot of Jet the Far Shore, and we have nothing but bad things to say about it. You can get both of those huge PlayStation 5 previews over in the new PS I Love You XOXO, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe. If that wasn't enough for you, all of this week's opening night live and Xbox conference coverage is live on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and podcast services. You, of course, can watch us watch along on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames for both press conferences. Then the XCast is your post show for the Xbox conference, and the GamesCast, a humongous GamesCast, is your opening night live finale as we get previews for Riders Republic, Saints Row, and then just run through everything we liked, loved, and didn't like so much about Jeff Keighley's opening night live. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, Away, and Amazon Music. But I'll tell you about those later. No, damn it, Tim will. Somebody will tell you about the ads later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Beep, beep.
Time for some news. Six items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen.
So for everybody who's not me, Tim, and Kevin, before we went live, Kevin was discussing that his neighbor who sold the house across the street, but the new neighbors who haven't moved in have a fire alarm that's going off nonstop, and it's driving Kevin crazy. I say call the fire department. Tim says call the fire department. Kevin toying around with the idea of ordering a children's fireman outfit and going over there himself. I worry about that.
I love that you said children's.
Well, I think it'd be the funnier one for him to wear. You know, I don't, not because he's small.
But here's the thing. What's the fire department going to do? They're going to come over and break the door?
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, do you want some peace and quiet? I can't imagine Cecil likes this.
I assure you, he's unfazed by it. Would you like to see him unfazed in the backyard?
Yeah.
I am firmly of the opinion that if the fire alarm is going off, you call the fire department. If the battery thing is going off and it's slightly annoying, you just let it lie. You deal with it.
All right.
I think that's what's happening. See? See, so near the hot tub, just totally unaware.
Totally. Is he standing there?
Yeah. Huh? Right up in there.
Good for him. Is that a little fire pit? I haven't been there since he installed this fire pit.
Yeah, a little fire pit.
That's nice. You like it?
Yeah. And you have been here since the fire pit was going.
No.
You have.
If I had been there while the fire pit was going, Danny Pena would have fallen in it. It was too close. I know everybody was standing around there.
He fell in it. He stood next to it, and he was like, oh, this is hot.
You're making that up. That didn't happen. Number one on the Roper Report, there's going to be a Martin Luther King Jr. event in Fortnite. We will start over at the PlayStation blog. Kevin, I've put a trailer in there if you want to play it. This is going to be Ryan Brosker for community manager at Epic Games. Time Studio presents March Through Time, an all-new experience where we celebrate the life and legacy of Nobel Peace Prize recipient Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Developed by members of the Fortnite creative community, this immersive journey allows players to witness Dr. Martin Luther King's full "I Have a Dream" speech. March Through Time will teleport players nearly 60 years in the past to a reimagined Washington, D.C. called DC-63. Developed by members of the Fortnite creative community, this fully immersive experience will allow players to witness the civil rights teachings of Dr. Martin Luther King. This experience was built by members Chase Jackman, G. Qanu, XWDFR, and U7A. In DC 63, players will travel to the Lincoln Memorial and the United States National Mall, where Dr. King made his iconic I Have a Dream speech. The experience will also feature museum-inspired points of interest and quests you can complete with other players. These quests should bring an important reminder that relates to Dr. King's speech. We move forward when we work together. Completing the Dr. King and Civil Rights Movement challenges will unlock a DC 63 spray for your locker. Civil rights is a struggle we still fight for to this day and has benefited from the collective efforts of millions of people around the world. We hope the March Through Time experience inspires the community to promote mutual respect and empathy towards all people, no matter their race, religion, or orientation. Tim, the trailer's gone through once or twice. Where do you land on this?
Personally, I think that this is really interesting and valuable. And for a game like Fortnite that has transcended being a game and become this platform that can be the home for movie trailers or concerts or whatever the hell the Ariana Grande thing was, like, there's just so many different options of what this can be, as well as video games and events and crossovers of Marvel characters and DC characters and Rick and Morty and all this stuff. It's like, why not do something like this that's actually like trying to be helpful and trying to educate of people, and, you know, let's make history fun, right? Like, that there's always kind of had that place in video games that do that, and sometimes has worked better than others. Mario is Missing comes to mind, but when it comes to this, I think that it's definitely well intentioned, and what's saddest to me is how quickly I see this news and immediately think, okay, but what's the problem with this? Like, sure. Like, this is opening a huge can of worms. What are those worms? How do we combat those worms? What's going on? And like that is just so sad that that's where we're at as people, that this isn't just a purely good thing. But, you know, I think that it should be, and I think that the goal would be for it to be, but we just don't live in a world or a time where that's the case. So I'm hoping that there are smarter people than me figuring out those worms to combat and ways to do that on the earlier side. But I do think that this is very valuable, and I think that it's a bold move. And, you know, I've been seeing a lot of takes on Twitter about this from a lot of varied people, and a lot of them are into it. A lot of them are kind of thinking about this as if it's kind of problematic in different ways. And I think a lot of it has to do with just the recent Fortnite stuff and the lawsuits and, you know, like statements made and this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, like, I look at this just as what it is. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Obviously, I think education and getting Dr. King's speech to as many people as possible is a good thing. I think, you know, for me, it was like it's been a varying reaction as you think more about it, as you're talking about it, where, of course, this is cool. I'm glad to see Fortnite use its status, its popularity, you know, its platform to talk about a good thing. Equal rights, civil rights, right? But then it is that idea of, I saw people reacting like, wait, is he a playable character? And I went and I watched the video. He's not. I went and watched the video, right? And if you're an audio listener, it is that thing of like, okay, cool. Oh, they're playing the speech in the thing. Oh, they've recreated the Washington. Oh, the bright bomber is walking around with a sign. And like, and then it's this juxtaposition of the serious subject matter with the avatars of Fortnite moving around. You're like, that's weird. But then to me, it's also that thing I have to remind myself, and this isn't a joke, I swear, is that I'm old in this thing, right? You have to go meet the youth, you have to go meet the new generation where they are. And so many of them are in Fortnite, and they are having conversations, and they are having, you know, these hangout sessions with their friends where they're dealing with real life things, even if one of them is dressed as the Terminator, right? Or the other one's dressed as Superman or whatever. So it's this push and pull to it. But to what you're talking about, the can of worms, that is an impression I saw. So I did reach out to the one, the only, the Paris Lily from XCast. I asked for his opinion. I asked if he wanted to be on the show. Of course, Paris had a conflict this morning because he's the most popular man in the video games, apparently. Mm-hmm, but Paris wrote this for me. I can say that I'm keeping an open mind that this will be handled with care and done in a respectful and educational way. But my concern is that this will be used by the typical hate groups in a way to tarnish the message and become another way to grief and harass. I want to see more things like this, but the immaturity of some could potentially ruin this and more efforts in the future. This was echoed, of course, by the one, the only, the Blessing at Oye Jr., the future class of video games from PS I Love You XOXO. I hit up Blessing and asked for a statement as well. He gave me this. I love the heart of this idea. It reminds me of Assassin's Creed's educational discovery tour mode that they've done in the past, which gives players a fun way to interact with and learn about history. Fortnite is the biggest game on the planet, with audiences of all ages and backgrounds, so supplying that audience with tools to learn and maybe even enjoy learning about civil rights is awesome. That said, it has to be handled with a lot of care. Watching the trailer for it, there is already a huge tonal dissonance between the cartoon style of Fortnite and the setting of the I Have a Dream speech. I worry about the image of Rick from Rick and Morty doing Fortnite dances in front of MLK memorials. I also do feel slightly uncomfortable with the gamification of this, i.e., quote, quests you can complete with other players. A lot of this takes away from the gravity of the actual history, IMO. It also doesn't completely align with the values of MLK, who is anti-capitalist. Personally, I would prefer if this was just a walkthrough mode with no space to goof around. I'd even lock players to appropriate attire. The memeability of this, as it is currently, worries me a bit. I do love they're giving credit to the creators and that there are Black folks working on this. I just want them to stick the landing, and I think with something as goofy and crazy as Fortnite, that's hard to do. And then the final one I want to bring in isn't a quote I reached out for. Just I follow Black Girl Gamers on Twitter. They had a whole thread about this, right? Which for me, of course, Greg Miller, just a dude, right? A typical white dude saw this on the play. I saw this in Kind of Funny Games Daily, our Slack channel about news stories. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And didn't think much about it, right? And then Black Girl Gamers had a dissertation quote tweeting it, right? And it goes like this, because obviously so many people had opinions about it. Black Girl Gamers, who you should follow on Twitter, says, hold your horses. Read it first. It's an in-game digital museum-like exhibition. We suspect as a continuation of their previous engagements on race and equality last year following George Floyd's murder. We're going to wait before passing judgment. From what we understand, MLK is not a skin or playable character, although the image makes it seem that way. MLK's speech will be played, not reenacted. Is this a way of making sure the youth in the metaverse are educated on race and equality? Perhaps. Will it work? We don't know. Fortnite is leading when it comes to in-game events and the metaverse, and it's not the first time they've done something like this. We speak about companies following up on their promises from last year. Is this an example of that? Maybe. If you have siblings who play Fortnite, would you tell them not to attend this activation? The Black community, in particular the Black American community, will feel tense about misuse of MLK's legacy, rightfully so, as brands have misused and misappropriated his speech time and time again. We'll see how it goes. We don't know whether this is the right step. And so that's the whole thing about it, right? Where I to go all the way back to where you started, Tim, and where I think everyone probably is on this. This has the best intentions. Like, I understand this, right? Yeah, as some, you and me, people who are, you know, faces of Kind of Funny and run Kind of Funny, you know, we try all the time to use our limited reach to fight the good fight. Right, to, you know, push causes we think are causes that need to be pushed for, to stand up for basic human rights, but don't get me ranting. I understand that Fortnite, the biggest fucking game in the world, doing this is huge. I also understand that's going to come with a whole bunch of fucking players missing the point, being dicks and being assholes about it. You assume and you hope and you pray that they have planned for this. You know, Blessing's thing in here of talking about, like, not being able to do the dances or, you know, do the floss or whatever, the any of the goofy stuff you can do in Fortnite, you have to imagine that has been disabled, right? Like, this has to be, you walk around and experience this, that you can't break it and do something goofy with it.
I mean, I don't know, because I feel like a lot of people can have different takes on how disrespectful the emotes are versus being able to shoot things versus XYZ. It's like, that's what makes this complicated, is that everybody's like tolerance level for what is disrespectful is different. Like, I think them partnering with Time and then the way they're presenting this seems a lot more buttoned up than the flash and dazzle that we normally get, sure, from the Fortnite events, for obvious reasons. So the way this trailer was presented, I think that the best intentions seem to be followed through. Having said that, it's like, what will this actually turn into, and what ways will people find to still be disrespectful? That's a totally different question that obviously is going to be a problem. But I think that that's the type of thing with Fortnite, with the platform that it is and with the colorful characters that they have. It's like, I think that there's a value to allowing it to exist, this serious thing to exist in a non-serious world, and to hold it to a different standard, for it to be more important, for it to be this thing that it's here and we're educating you, especially in a time where it's like, we're hearing all these stories about what's being taught in schools in different places, just getting somehow more and more complex, and what won't be taught in places. That's fucking ridiculous. Sure. It's like for this to be the in a video game that the entire world is playing, I think is like extremely powerful.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the push and pull. I think at times the painful growth experiences we have to do through video games and life in general, but in very specifically video games here, right? Of like, you person watching or listening to this show right now, take video games seriously, right? The world at large doesn't necessarily, but every day, every year, every whatever generation, they get taken more and more seriously. And so right here, as we talk about this very serious thing that, you know, I was taught about in school, Tim, you were taught about in school, that, you know, I remember watching this on the CD-ROM for the Encyclopedia Britannica I had, right? Like, the my perception of where this kind of thing should happen or is happening, right, I guess is being not rocked by this, but needs to be re-expanded about this. Of like, why can't Fortnite be this? If Fortnite can be all these different metaverse cultural milestones, if it can be these large things, you know. And again, to the, you know, the George Floyd stuff the article was talking about, or maybe it was Black Girl Gamers, if it can handle the situations, why can't it handle the situation? And again, for me, and you know, I enjoy Fortnite, not like Kevin does, you know what I mean, where he plays it all the time. I come back for my 1 month seasons every so often and go crazy on stuff. But if the audience is just existing there and seeing somebody run around in the pink bear costume at the Washington Monument listening to this speech isn't off-putting to them, is it like breaking the weight of this to them, then why should it matter to me?
Aaron, the big gamer in the chat, says, I'm playing the mode right now. You can only do a set choice of emotes. So that's good. Perfect. And again, like, that just goes back to like what I was saying of like, you got to assume that they're trying their best. Their hearts are in the right place with this. And like everything we're saying about like these, it is Black people working on this. It is not just entirely a money grab or whatever. And like, yeah, this is a corporation, money's being made from this, and that's always going to be an element that people are going to have issue with, for good reason to some extent. But the thing with this is, whenever you have a platform and you try to share that platform with people that others don't want to have a platform, that's going to cause tension, and that's going to cause a lot of problems. And and it's like, in my opinion, that doesn't mean to not give those people or those things, in this case, that platform. It just means you need to be able to stand with them and help defend and help figure out the problem. And again, the can of worms, eliminate those goddamn worms. And I feel like this is the type of thing of steps forward where, let's just take a moment to appreciate how crazy it is this even is in a video game, let alone the biggest video game in the world. This wouldn't have been the case 10 years ago. So it's like, what could be in 20 years? You know, like when they do figure out, and I'm being optimistic here, but I'm hoping in the direction we're going, I believe that the industry is trying to identify the pain points and issues that come with things like this, so that hopefully in the future, when there's a news story like this, we're not pessimistic about it, looking at it like, oh, but what are all the problems? We're looking at it as like, fuck yeah.
100%. I think you nail it, right? And like, you know, to put a pin in this and move on, obviously. Unless, actually, I was thinking, hey, Big Cab Dog, you still there?
Yep, right here.
As Mr. Fortnite over there, can you boot up your Fortnite and get into this while we can? We'll continue the show, obviously. But
show it?
Yeah, at some point you get in there and show it to us while we keep doing the news.
Yeah, give me 1 second.
No rush. I'm going to move on and do whatever. But to put a pin in this for right now, and this
sounds good, my guy.
This is obviously... This could easily sound like Greg Miller grandstanding, which I know I get for on the internet all the time, but everybody who listens hopefully knows how authentic I am. You nailed something in there, right, Tim, of talking about like this being hard now, but like you go through it, right? Like it shouldn't be something that stops you, right? And it reminds me of that JFK speech about going to the moon, right? So I did a quick Google on that one, because I always think of this line, right? We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept, one that we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, and the others too, right? Yeah, the path of least resistance for Fortnite and for the video game industry and for everybody else is to ignore the problems, right? But if you want to address them head on, it's what we talk about with our own stuff, right? As we try to do the right thing, we are going to stumble. We are going to make mistakes. We are going to learn and get better as we go. And that should be the mantra for everybody. Not that, man, I'm going to catch flack for this, so I shouldn't do it. So hopefully, again, best intentions and where we are, right? That's what we're talking about right now in terms of what's going on here. So yeah.
Yeah. And look, here's the thing. It's not going to be perfect. In fact, I'm sure it's going to be far from perfect and there's going to be many flaws. But that's the thing. People will identify those flaws and hopefully those flaws will be dealt with. And next time it'll be a little bit better.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to number two on the Roper Report while Kevin boots up Fortnite. Of course, like I said, opening night live over at Gamescom with Jeff Keighley was in fact yesterday. You can go watch our live reactions to it. You can catch our Gamescast post show to it. But if you somehow missed all of it, I thought I would give you some of the big hits out of it, all right? Of course, like I said, Gamescast post show has Riders Republic preview, has Saints Row preview, has a bunch of different stuff on there. But the big stuff I would toss out there would be this. Saints Row was revealed. It is a reboot. It is coming February 25th, 2022. It's taking place in Santo Aleso in the American Southwest. Kind of looks like Vegas. Got a whole bunch of stuff going on there. Three different gangs. Seems more grounded. I thought it looked good, Tim, from what we saw there in the trailer. And then the gameplay I liked.
Looks interesting. Yeah. The gameplay did look pretty damn impressive. And, you know, we talked about this a lot. So to not belabor the point, like I think it's, there's been this big void of arena shooters and GTA-style open sandbox worlds, and those are starting to come back, it kind of feels like. It's cool to see the industry shift between genres and, you know, as battle royales and, like, kind of team-based, hero-based shooters rose, the arena things fell to the wayside, and as the more Ubisoft-style open world game of quest logs and side quests kind of opened up, the GTA sandbox kind of went away. And also, I would even attribute that to things like Fortnite and kind of these like just shared multiplayer experience games and as GTA itself became GTA Online, right?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of cool to see that we're going to be getting some more of those, especially with the rumors of GTA Trilogy being remastered. Oh, God, as well.
Don't even get me started. If I can play Vice City, the soundtrack would be the biggest problem, but Rockstar's got the money to throw out.
Got that money.
The next, I'm going in the order, but I did cut out a whole bunch of stuff. So please go read a full recap somewhere or watch our video. Next up on things I thought were big beats, Marvel Midnight Suns was revealed. This is the 2K Firaxis game that we thought was going to be the Marvel XCOM game. Jake Solomon, who's working on it and has been at Firaxis forever, says in fact that it's a tactical RPG. It's not using XCOM mechanics, but it's a tactical RPG. There had been confusion yesterday when I had watched it and then people saw on Twitter, you are playing as the hunter. You are making your own superhero that's this hunter, building her out. She's the one in the trailer being revived. However, you do actually have 13 other or total heroes to play as. So when you go back to the Abbey, which is where you are, you're the hunter. When you're in combat, you have other stuff. I reached out to get more clarification on this. This is what I got. In combat, you can control up to three heroes. Most of the time, that will include the hunter plus two others. In that sense, you control all three characters. When you are outside of combat, you run around the Abbey, your supernatural secret base, as the hunter. Think of a mix of Fire Emblem Three Houses or Mass Effect. The Abbey is a fully realized 3D space. It has base management systems like XCOM did, except now you walk around, talk to heroes, etc. That's, of course, piggybacking off a bunch of great reporting from Tamor Hussein, who has a big old interview up. IGN has an interview. They talk about, like, can you romance the other heroes? They're like, no, but you can be very, very, very close friends. So there's going to be some kind of building a squad, building a relationship, which gets me excited. That's coming out March 2022. The gameplay reveal will be on September 1st during a gameplay stream. Little, you know, we don't know much about that, Tim, but for Access, incredibly talented developer, the idea that this is a different cast of characters than you usually see. Granted, your Iron Man's in there, your Wolverine's in there, but Ghost Rider, Magic, I'm interested.
Totally. I think they really nailed this, and this is way more than I expected from this game. And like you said, we have the pedigree there with Firaxis, with the XCOM, with the people working on it. But Midnight Suns, not something I expected them to tackle in video game form, and I think that that's extremely important in this era of Marvel that can so easily just kind of turn into MCU light.
Sure.
And like we've seen that even with the Avengers game, right, where there's just all it is comparisons, which means it doesn't match up to the incredible thing that is the MCU. Whereas with this, it's kind of like, oh, let's introduce people to Robbie Reyes, the Ghost Rider, you know, and get in there.
Yeah.
Is that the right name?
Robbie Reyes, yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Okay, good.
Halo Infinite was that there as well, too, like we were joking about early. Of course, they're talking about the multiplayer. They were going into this stuff. They gave us a release date, December 8th, 2021. They also revealed a 20-year anniversary Halo Elite controller and a Xbox Series X controller as well. All right, right now, hold on. Before we get into more Halo, Kevin has loaded in. You can see Kevin. This is your PS4, right?
This is an Xbox.
Xbox One
X. One X.
Okay, Xbox One X. There as it loads in the.
It's a little bit slower.
Lincoln Memorial. You go through here. What emotes you got? We had had Lanky Dragoon wrote into your wrong to give us a bit more information. I just dove into the March Through Time Fortnite mode during the show to see what they had disabled. You can use normal Fortnite emotes, but they also added an entire wheel of emotes called March emotes, including sitting in a chair, dancing, picketing, and more. So every other emote released in Fortnite is usable during the mode. They're just in different wheel than you need to tab to. Is that checking out with you, Kevin? You got all your regular emotes in there?
Yeah.
What skin is this, too?
This is like a spy.
Oh, neat.
She's great.
There's the chair one for the emote. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The different emotes.
Sure. Do you see your normal ones in there, or is it just these ones? Can you tab over like they're saying?
Yes. They're okay. The normal ones.
Do one. Do a weird emote. Oh yeah. Okay. So yeah, you have all your crazy emotes to do here on the Lincoln Memorial while you watch the speech. Why is the speech so small, Tim? When do you think this would be bigger?
They certainly could have done a bigger TV, right?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I imagine there's other screens. There must be bigger ones, right? No?
Does not.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't figure out audio.
No, you're fine. We just wanted to see what it looks like. You're doing great, Kev. Thank you so much for doing this on the fly for us.
I mean, it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Fortnite's a great looking game. It's like Forrest Gump, remember? And he ran in the wading pool. You all remember it, Forrest Gump. Big movie. Yeah. Tom Hanks was in it.
Good movie.
Jenny was in it, too. Okay. People are dancing, doing the thing, but okay, it's there. No, back to opening night live while Kevin goes around and dances. Kevin, Tim, Halo Infinite, December 8th. How does that make you feel?
Oh, my God, dude. Are you kidding me? I'm so excited. Like, the 20th anniversary Xbox Series X. Awesome. So cool. If anything, just getting more Series X's out there, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, I know. That was the thing, right? They're still so hard to find. They're making these. Good for them.
The controller, beautiful. A thing of beauty. The biggest point for me, I'm so stoked that Mike and Eddie both got it. I'm just excited that they're coming out with more Series 2. What are they freaking called? The Elite Series 2 controllers. That's what it is.
Sure.
In different colorways, because that I've always been bummed that the dope things like Aqua Shift are limited to just the normal Xbox controller instead of the Elite. So that's really exciting. It's really cool. The controller's awesome. If you're going to do a Halo controller, they nailed it, knocked it out of the park. So that's great. And in terms of the game, I mean, yeah, December 8th, a little later than I'd want, but sooner than it could have been. So not going to be mad at that. I still stand by that if I were Microsoft, I would delay the campaign entirely and just release the multiplayer. Sure. And again, I'm not a game developer, but I am pretty good at marketing. And if it were up to me, I would try my damnedest to hit November 15th for that multiplayer, get it out there on the Xbox anniversary, make a huge damn deal of it. And then, just have co-op campaign launch with campaign sometime in early 2022. But alas, that's not what they're doing. So we'll see how this all plays out. It being December 8th means it's not really going to be in too many game of the year conversations one way or the other. So that is just something to think about for a game of this magnitude. But sure. I also think game of the year conversations are going to have to change after the last couple of years with how many games do release in that late November, December timeline.
True. From there, other news of note, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge got delayed to 2022. April O'Neil is playable. Super Monkey Ball saw their reveal character being Morgana from Persona 5. Riders Republic, the preview embargo lifted, but you can now jump into the beta yourself until August 28th, which is Saturday? Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga also got delayed out to spring 2022. They announced the Outlast Trials, of course, Outlast the horror game. This one is one you can play solo or with four players multiplayer. It's coming in 2022. Jet the Far Shore, which we previewed on PS I Love You XOXO today, got a release date of October 5th. Then another big one, Horizon the Forbidden West, officially got delayed to February 18th, 2022. However, to make the wait a bit easier, there is now a 60 frames per second PS5 backwards compatibility patch for Horizon Zero Dawn. So you could jump in there and play that in the best possible way. New World. I don't know if this is news, actually. Release date, September 28th. I haven't been following Amazon's New World close enough. But if it is, there it is. They talked about it. They showed more of that game. Valheim showed its next DLC, Hearth and Home. That's coming September 16th. Genshin Impact showed Aloy again and talked about her coming on September 1st. And then Sifu, the indie we all want so, so bad, got delayed February 22nd, 2022, making February 2022. You will be overwhelmed and not have any money if everybody stays there.
I mean, and on top of that, like the one thing about February that's really interesting is we don't know about Breath of the Wild. So
true.
It could be even more busy.
But you don't, I mean, there's no way Breath of the Wild that's early, right?
Oh, there's 100% away. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that it's like a lock. But I mean, I bet you there's no way that Breath of the Wild wasn't targeted to hit this year. So I think that it's not out of the realm of possibility for it to be on the earlier side of next year. But everything I've heard is that Nintendo has had the hardest hit when it comes to dealing with COVID and all that stuff. So with that, we could be, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be equally not surprised if Breath of the Wild came out in 2023. So... who knows?
Okay. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. I steamrolled through some of those announcements there, Tim. Anything you want to jump on? I mean, I know we've talked it to death on different shows already.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's too much to point out. But yeah, February looks really dope. There's going to be a lot of great stuff there. Sifu, can't wait for that.
God, Sifu looks so good, right? While you all think about Sifu and you think about February 2022, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You could go there right now to be part of the show with your questions, comments, concerns. You could go there to get the show ad-free. You could go there to get the show at the post-show. You could go there to get all these benefits for Gamescast and all the other shows. You can watch most shows live as they do it on the back. However, right now, it's all about the ads. So let me take a break and tell you about our sponsors, but not me, Tim Will. Damn it.
This episode is brought to you by Away. Whether it's just a trip to the grocery store, a weekend away, or an extended stay with your friends or family, we're all stuck navigating the current weirdness of travel. But no matter what you're up to, Away's suitcases, bags, and accessories all come in a variety of colors, sizes, and materials to always have your back. I've been a huge fan of Away forever. It's all I travel with. It's my favorite luggage. Once you get it, it transforms your life, transforms your travels experience. So high quality, so beautiful, so aesthetically pleasing. Just a big fan overall. Every suitcase comes with a fancy schmancy interior organization system with a compression pad to help you fit more in, which I've had to do many, many times. Away suitcases also come with the smoothest rolling reels I've ever seen on a suitcase. Honestly, it's fun to just roll it around because it is so smooth. A TSA approved combination lock, a laundry bag. It's literally everything you'll need in a suitcase and more. Start your 100-day trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases, at awaytravel.com/KFGD. That's awaytravel.com/KFGD. Next up, shout out to Amazon Music. Amazon Music has more than 10 million free podcast episodes to listen to, including this show and all of the Kind of Funny shows. Go check them out. But it's not just for listening to podcasts. Amazon Music has thousands of music stations and top playlists to stream for free. No matter what you're listening to, you can go hands-free with Alexa. You can get the app and enjoy free listening anywhere on any device. There's no credit card or subscription required. Amazon Music's great. I've been using it for a while. Love listening to podcasts. If you've never tried Amazon Music, what are you waiting for? You're going to love it as much as we do. Start listening for free today. Head over to amazon.com/KFGD. That's amazon.com/KFGD to stream thousands of music stations and over 10 million podcast episodes for free. amazon.com/KFGD. And finally, shout out to DoorDash. Did you forget that one thing at the store? Now you can get snacks, drinks, household essentials in 30 minutes with DoorDash. Dinner? Check. Deodorant? Check. Morning pick-me-up from Dunkin'? Check. Get everything you need whenever you need it with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you with the restaurants you love right now and right to your door. I love DoorDash. I've been using it forever, especially during this whole situation we're in, and it's been fantastic. Not needing to worry, not needing to go out places, just boom. Restaurant food being brought right to me. Me and Gia having a great time eating it. For a limited time, you guys can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on the first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. For Canadian listeners, use code GAMESCA. That's 25% off up to $10 value and zero delivery fees in your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021 in the US and GAMESCA in Canada. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021. 2021 or GamesCA for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply.
Right before that there, ad, we were talking about Xbox. We were talking about Halo. So let's go to number three. Speaking of Halo Infinite, its PC specs are out. We're going to read from IGN.com, where Matt Perslow has the following. Microsoft and 343 Industries have announced the full PC system requirements for Halo Infinite. As listed on Halo Infinite's Steam page, the minimum and recommended system specs are minimum. Requires a 64-bit processor and operating system, OS Windows 10 RS3X64, processor AMD FX837. Tim, you are the guy who knows this.
RAM and,
is this all normal? Is everything
GTX
normal?
GTX 1050 is essentially the minimum there. So pretty damn low entry point for these things. Like that's definitely not that powerful of a system at all. I5 for the processor, like that's pretty manageable for sure.
What about recommended crazy
16 gigs of RAM? I mean, at this point, like, I don't know anybody that has less than 16 gigs personally. I'm sure there are tons of people out there, but they are recommending an i7, a higher end i7 there, and they are for graphics recommending one, any of the RTX cards for Nvidia. So we're getting into some stuff where, yeah, we're talking about next gen type systems here. So okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Additionally, this is back to Matt at IGN. The Steam page also states that Halo Infinite on PC will support advanced graphics settings, ultra-wide and super ultra-wide resolution support, and triple key binds for features such as dynamic scaling and variable frame rates. Quote, Halo Infinite is the best Halo experience on PC to date, the page states. These specifications are largely similar to those required for the Halo Infinite multiplayer technical preview held a few weeks ago. So, if you were able to play that, then you should be good to go. Timothy in the live chat on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. OM Jesus says, who's going to play this on PC and console besides me? Tim, is that your plan for Halo Infinite?
1,500%. I mean, so here they're saying that additionally, there's the advanced graphics settings. And if people that did the technical preview will already be familiar, I obviously am familiar, talked all about that stuff. And they're talking here about ultra wide and super ultra wide. I have super ultra wide. It worked better than any super ultra wide experience I've ever had so far. Still had some issues. Obviously, it was a technical preview. They're talking about the triple binding for keys and all that stuff, which is super awesome for how I like to play games. Greg, how many times have you been playing a video game and you're like, oh, the controls are just a little bit off? And then sure, you go into the options to try to change the bindings, and it lets you do it for all the things except the one thing that you actually want it to do.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Oh, this I know. Is,
they're just like, no, fuck that. Like, and they're allowing triple key binds where it's like one button can do three different things depending on the context of what you're doing. And it's like, that is awesome. They're really, really trying to care about making this a tailored experience for however you want to play the game. So can't wait to see that. All the options were there. My game bugged the fuck out and would crash anytime I tried to do that stuff for the most part, but the options are there. So it's like, when the final game's out, I understand that it's going to be better. So I'm excited about that. And for OM Jesus here, who's going to play this on PC and console? I am. I'm so excited about that. And I, even with the technical preview, I did that a little bit about playing on my Series X and then bouncing over to my PC, just depending on if I was playing by myself, I was on the TV, or if I was playing when I was streaming, obviously I was on the computer setup. So I loved how seamless it was. If Xbox has done anything, it's build this damn ecosystem the last couple of years. Yep. And Halo to me is the game to kind of take that from an ecosystem to an experience of video games, right? And that's been there already for a lot of people with things like Sea of Thieves and other games. But I think that in terms of Xbox and what that means to a lot of people, especially people that might not be, you know, listening to XCast every single week, like more just the gamers that for the last 10 years have switched over to the PlayStation side or the Switch side, or, you know, Switch and PlayStation, which I, if I had to guess, would probably be the most popular subgroup of all gamers, is people that have those two, for people that consider themselves hardcore gamers, right?
Yeah.
Is that a fair assessment there?
I think so, yeah.
So it's like, this is a big moment for them this fall with both Halo Infinite and Forza coming out. I know there's been a million Forzas and a million Forza Horizons, but this one feels different, where I feel like Forza Horizon 5's coming out, and I think it's going to be the one where everyone's like, all right, well, everyone's been talking about this so much, I got to give this one a shot. And it's that perfect storm of people wanting new games to play, people having these next-gen consoles, and Game Pass, where it's like, you don't even need to buy Horizon 5. You just get to experience it. So with all that together, I think that there's going to be a lot of people, oh, and Jesus, that are going to be playing on both, that have the means, obviously.
Excellent. Number four on the Roper Report. We've been talking about it for a while, but Netflix gaming is a go. Kevin, I didn't highlight it, but I have a link here for you. I'm going to be reading from Netflix's Twitter, where they actually quote, well, Netflix's geek Twitter, where they quote tweeted a couple different things. And it says, let's talk Netflix and gaming. Today, members in Poland can try Netflix mobile gaming on Android with two games, Stranger Things 1984 and Stranger Things 3. It's very, very early days, and we've got a lot of work to do in the months ahead, but this is the first step. Here's what you can expect. No ads, no in-app purchases, games included with your Netflix membership. We'll keep you updated as we explore what gaming looks like on Netflix. Stay tuned. I want to go over to IGN.com one more time, where Taylor Lies says, it is no surprise that Netflix announced the first two games select subscribers can test out are mobile. In July, ahead of its quarterly financial earnings, Netflix confirmed it was focusing on mobile games first. The company also noted that it would be building on top of its earlier efforts around interactive shows like Black Mirror, Bandersnatch. That same month, Netflix also announced that ex-EA and Facebook executive Mike Verdue was hired as the company's vice president of game development. Tim, is this what you expected from Netflix gaming?
Yeah, kind of. And, you know, it's one of those things that I don't want to be as apathetic towards as I am. Mm-hmm. But I love when these big tech giants actually try something new and different to, like, create new forms of video games and, like, kind of push the industry forward. But so much of it kind of just feels like false start and kind of like I can see the end of this tunnel already. But at the same time, it reminds me a lot of Stadia, where I'm like, I stand by Stadia being important as a shift for the industry, and it's always going to be the punchline to every joke, but and things like the Ouya and things like all these like kind of like failed experiments, right? But I believe in cloud gaming. We're not there yet, but if it weren't for Stadia pushing, I think that we would get there a lot later. So to take that and address it with this, I don't know what this ends with that gets me excited, but video games are much more than they used to be. And especially when you start looking at the mobile side and them like it's them saying it's no surprise that these are mobile games you could play or whatever. It's like there is an audience there that is used to playing mobile games while watching Netflix. Why not combine those two things together?
I mean, that's the thing about it where I think, you know, this doesn't excite me. I'm not like, oh my God, I can't wait for this to come here or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I do see a reality where one day Netflix gaming is everywhere. Netflix gaming is everywhere in the way that it's in every territory, and they partner with Annapurna and do an exclusive mobile game, something like a Florence, right? That is coming out only on Netflix gaming. And it is that thing of like, oh, right, I have that. I was subscribed to Netflix and I never think of gaming. You open it up, you play it. That's cool. And maybe that gets you in the ecosystem to download some other stuff. Maybe in some ways it's a competitor to Apple Arcade, or if they expand beyond that, try to get into console. Yeah, there's a lot of ifs, there's a lot of whatevers in there, but it's what you're talking about, Tim, right? Of like, again, you need to have people pushing and trying different mm-hmm. things to find something that would work and actually shake up the industry in a way like that. So
more power to them. Absolutely. You know, Apple Arcade is such an interesting thing where I'd love to know the numbers, and I doubt we ever will. Like, that just seems like one of those best kept secret things where I almost feel like it's really successful and they're just not talking about it because they're just like, hey, like, we're making a lot of money from this. Let's just keep going, just be chill and let everyone think that it's not working. But I don't know why I feel that way, but I guess it's just like the way that they keep promoting it, and just knowing Apple, they've kind of stopped promoting things after a while when they're not working, you know?
Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, mm-hmm. I'm with you on that, right? Of like, it's all quiet on that. Like, okay, what's going on with it? You know what I mean? But they keep making games, right?
They keep adding stuff. And like, you can't go to the App Store without being shoved down your throat, even when you have it. So.
Well, now, of course, you got to play that Marvel Future Revolution. It's not on there, but it's already free. You can get in there right now, Tim, be playing with me. You know what I mean? We can both be Captain America. It's pretty cool.
You're such a fuck, Greg. You're just such a fuck. Just a
heads up, everybody. I'm having a good time. Is it the squad up today? It is the squad up today. Just letting you know. Don't worry about it. All right. Mm-hmm. Just don't worry. I mean, right there in the live chat, Flame Beacon says, Greg, I started playing Marvel Future Revolution this morning and haven't gotten the battle pass yet, but it's really fun. There you go. If you can't take my word for it, can you listen to Flame Beacon? Can you listen to the upcoming squad up? You'll find out together. Don't worry about it. Number five on the Roper Report, there's a new Gearbox studio up in Montreal. This is Chris Kerr over at Game Developer. Borderlands developer Gearbox Entertainment plans to open a new studio in Montreal, Canada. Gearbox said it will invest $200 million Canadian into the Quebec region to facilitate the creation of Gearbox Studio Montreal, creating 250 tech sector jobs to bring its company-wide workforce to over 850 employees. Industry veterans Sebastian Chase and Pierre-André Derry have been tapped to co-lead the newly formed studio, which will work on the Borderlands series while also creating new franchises. Both Case and maybe Cassie, actually, and Derry previously worked together as co-leads at Tiny Tina's Wonderland developer Gearbox Studio Quebec, which itself was only formed in 2015. News of Gearbox's expansion comes just a few months after the company was acquired by Swedish conglomerate Embracer Group for $1.38 billion. At the time, Randy Pitchford explained the deal could serve as propellant for Gearbox, while Embracer chief exec Lars Wingfors said he intends to position the studio for, quote, continued significant growth in the years to come.
So I just looked this up. So Montreal is the second largest city in Canada at 166 square miles.
Okay.
And as of August 26, 2021, 80 of those square miles are taken up by game developers.
Uh-huh.
It's insane.
Yes. This is what it looks like when your country or province or whatever you want to say is like, hey, you know, it'd be cool if we gave people a reason to come here. Like Canada, if you haven't looked in, again, of course, I want you to know. I mean, I'm a student of the game and I take my job seriously and yada, yada, yada. If I hadn't married Jen, obviously, and like learned way more about Canadian games than anybody probably should know, I wouldn't know about all of the tax credits, the government giving game developers money. You talk like, and then think about, on top of all that, talk about free healthcare. Right? Like we joke around about it all the time, right, Tim? Of like, if we didn't use it, we ended up getting our own healthcare, right? But like, we started kind of funny at a time when Obamacare was just getting going or whatever. And it was that idea of like, if all else fails, we can do that, which means it's okay to go start our own job because we don't have to worry about breaking an arm and not and being going bankrupt over it, right? You talk about going up to Montreal, Canada, why you see so many great studios worldwide, but right now, American studios making Montreal offices, it's because of these tax credits. When you watch a movie, and I know you do for every Marvel movie, right? Any movie you watch, stay through the fucking credits. And what do you see at the end?
Quebec. Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta and Quebec, because they've done something in Quebec to get the tax credit to offset the cost of this and have the government. And the tax credit is probably not even the right word to use it. The government just gives you money.
So funny. You went to Quebec. I was like, it's definitely Atlanta.
Atlanta's there for a lot of stuff. It is correct. Quebec is there for everything. 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 Any movie you watch, go do it.
We are going to see Georgia less probably, though.
Georgia Lesna? Yeah, oh yeah, right. Yeah. But anyways, like this isn't scamming the system. It's, you know, how do we make games? And we always talk about how hard the game development business is, how hard the business of making a game and selling a game and making it profitable it is. Of course you're going to go to these places and start new studios and do these new things where you can get offset by the Canadian government to actually make your game and do this and not have to worry. Like it's the normal shit you always hear about of like, we're in bootstrap indie dev here in America, and we mortgage the house three times to make this work, to do the thing, you know what I mean? And like, in Canada, like, here's some money. This sounds like a great idea. We don't care if we never make it back. Here's some money for it. Good stuff with Canada. All right? Nothing else to really add about it. I mean, Gearbox, yeah. Whatever. All right, cool. More Borderlands and whatever else they're working on. We'll see what happens. Crazy that they just did a studio already in Quebec, the province, in 2015. Now they got another one in Quebec, Montreal, the city.
Make that money, man.
Go get them. Number six. This is your final one on the Roper Report for the day. And not a sad one, but like a good on you. We're proud of you. The designer of the NES and the SNES has retired from Nintendo. This is Damian McFerrin over at Nintendo Life. Lance Barr, the man who famously designed the NES and SNES consoles, has retired from Canada. Barr has made the announcement via his personal LinkedIn account, stating that, quote, after almost 39 years at Nintendo, I am retiring and moving on to other projects, quote. He has served as design and brand director since 1982. According to Tim Statens, uh, no, sorry, Tim Sat Santens. One of Barr's first assignments was creating arcade cabinets for the North American market, which would make sense as Nintendo had no home console in 1982 and wouldn't launch one in the US until 1985. Barr was instrumental in reshaping 1983's Japanese Famicom for the North American market, developing the unique front-loading VHS-style mechanism, which made the console so unique when compared to previous examples of hardware like the Atari VCS. The North American console market was in tatters following the crash of 1983, so Barr's work was of vital importance. The NES needed to look like something new and different, and it's fair to say that his efforts were successful. When the console arrived in North America in 1985, it quickly became the dominant system. Over 60 million units of the Famicom / NES would be sold worldwide, and a great deal of those were in America. Even today, the NES remains one of the most iconic console designs of all time. Barr also created some of the console's more unique peripherals, including the NES Zapper, NES Advantage, and the NES Max, and was responsible for the top-loading NES redesign, complete with its dogbone controller. You can see a video here with Barr in it. You can go, of course, go over to Nintendo Life to catch that. His next venture would be the North American redesign of the SNES, which recently turned 30 in that particular region. While Europe retained the more rounded shape of the Japanese Super Famicom, which Barr felt was too soft and had no edge, America got a more boxy system. Debate rages as to which design is best even in 2021, but Barr's design clearly has a lot of fans. He also designed the SNES Junior. More recently, Barr was responsible for designing the Wii Nunchuck. So,
debate rages? That's debatable. The debate rages. I don't think I've ever seen an actual argument of anyone trying to say that the American version is better than the Super Famicom version. And I say that because get ready to fucking destroy me, everybody. If you thought my Astro Boy take was bad, the Super Famicom design is whatever. It's so whatever. I don't understand why everybody like talks about it as if it's the dopest looking thing in the world. It ain't. It ain't. Too soft and has no edge. Barr was right. Retire on top.
I mean, it's one of those, like, you know, obviously me being a Sega kid, I don't, you know, dip my toe into the Nintendo audience all that often. You know what I mean? Come over. Oh, that sounded gross. You know what I mean? To come over here and talk shit. Yes, I've never thought the Super Famicom looked great.
Thank you. Talking,
you kidding me right now with the SNES? The purple? The boxy, the slidey little things.
I'm not saying that
it turned all yellow like it was in a smoker's house. It was great.
Yeah, that was the thing. I'm not saying that the SNES looks better than the Super Famicom. That's I believe that, but that's not the point that I'm trying to make. I'm just saying the Super Famicom people talk like it's like this. They talk like it's the PlayStation 2, Greg. It's not the PlayStation 2. The PlayStation 2 is a thing of fucking art.
You kidding me right now? The logo swivels. Art. You can, you know what I mean?
On.
Get out of here.
Come on. Those colors, that blue. Woo!
Lance Barr.
Controller's dope, though.
Enjoy your retirement and your new things. Thank you for giving us works of art. Mm-hmm. We love and appreciate you. Tim, I can't wait to see who steps into Lance Barr's shoes to redesign the Switch one day. But that's so far away. If I want something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grab shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. It's a Thursday. It's a huge Switch day. If I don't say a platform, it's just Switch, right? Islanders Console Edition is coming to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X/S, and the Xbox One. Hotel Life, a resort simulator for all you White Lotus fans, is coming to PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, and Switch. Myst is coming to Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, PC, and Mac. Cape's Escape Game Third Room is coming to Switch. Now we're into the Switch stuff. Dark Thrones, the Magnificent Truffle Pigs. Instant Farmer, Maze Mysteries, The Secret of Dragonville, Have a Blast, Shape Suitable, Garden Paws, Wild Bus, Spelunky 2, Spelunky, Green Phoenix, Pretty Girls Panic, Titans Black Ops, Witch Hunter, Hermitage, Strange Case Files, Eternal Hope, Secret Neighbor, Off-Road Unleashed, Bum Simulator comes to PC. Black Geyser, Couriers of Darkness comes to PC and Mac. I'm sorry, I was going so quick there. Kevin, can I see the trailer for Bum Simulator?
We want to.
Yeah, I probably don't want to. You're right. Reshaping Mars comes to PC. Right. Proto Corgi comes to PC. Free DLC for Turnip Boy commits tax evasion is out today. And then GTA Online reports the Karen Sultan RS Classic, the latest car from GTA Online's Los Santos Tuners, moves from the test track to Southern San Andreas Super Autos this week, debuting alongside several auto-themed double rewards, such as on auto shop client jobs and select stunt races. This week's update also introduces Shipwrecks, a set of new daily collectibles washed up ashore for players to find, seven of which contain scraps of clothing. These scraps of clothing can be combined to form an outfit from a bygone era. Okay. And then Have a Blast launches on Steam and Nintendo Switch today. Enjoy that. New dates for you. 200 Ways is on Steam September 3rd. Hitman 3 Gluttony Act 5 of the Seven Deadly Sins collection arrives on August 31st. And Clid the Snail will be launching on PlayStation 4 on August 31st. If that wasn't enough for you, August is almost dead, everybody. Going away. September will reign in its place. And we have a bunch of deals of the day for you regarding stuff like that. We'll start with, of course, Prime Gaming. September Prime Gaming content has an update. Amazon Prime members can celebrate back to school with a selection of free games and content for popular titles, including exclusive content for Genshin Impact, Madden 22, Fall Guys, and more. The September free games with Prime lineup feature Knockout City, Sam and Max Hit the Road, Candleman, The Complete Journey, Puzzle Agent, Secret Files 2, Paritas Codis, Tools Up, and Unmemory. Remember, that's Amazon Prime. If you have Amazon Prime, you have Prime Gaming, you get a bunch of free games, you get a bunch of different gaming content things for free, and more importantly, you get one Twitch sub to give away. So even if you're listening to this as a podcast, watching it later on YouTube, you never use twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, it would mean a lot to us if you went in, you said you linked your Amazon Prime account to your old Twitch Prime account, and then you came over here and you gave us that free sub. Every 30 days, you need to redo it. It doesn't auto-renew. They want you to forget about this bonus you have. Don't take the money back from Jeff Bezos. Shove it in Kevin's face. I know that one from the internet. Xbox Games with Gold for this weekend were also announced, right? No, other way around, sorry. Xbox Games with Gold were announced for September. Warhammer Crossbane is available September 1st through the 30th. Mulaka is available September 16th through October 15th. Zone of the Enders HD Collection, September 1st through the 15th. And Samurai Showdown 2 is available September 16th through the 30th. Then Xbox free play days for the weekend go like this. You can play Battlefield 5 and Assetto Corsa Composizione, both available Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass members Ultimate right now through Sunday. Don't forget the Elder Scrolls Online Tamriel Unlimited is available to play until Monday, August 30th, all for free if you have Xbox Live Gold or Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. Whew. A lot of information there, Tim, you know?
Mm-hmm. You killed it, though.
Thank you
very much. Got it all out there to the people.
I did. And in the middle of it, I went like, oh, no. And I went like, oh, it's something else. And I went like that. And I want you to know, I rammed right into my nipple.
Oh,
ooh,
no.
It's hurting.
Nothing
it
like hurting a, right a nip there. Hit.
And I think I need to cut my nails a bit. Like, I really we ask people to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to, of course, write in with their questions, comments, and concerns for the show. But more importantly, for right now, they could go there to squad up. This is where you give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you when everybody plays games together. Today, Kendrick Luckenbach, an old-timey kind of funny best friend, needs help on mobile. Here comes the report. It's about Marvel Future Revolution. Kind of funny best friends assemble. Marvel Future Revolution has launched on mobile, and I need friends to squad up for friend tokens. I play on the West Coast server on Sakaar 1. If anyone out there is on this server, hopefully we can help each other grow. Thanks. If you'd like to play some Marvel Future Revolution with Kendrick, hit up Kendrick AST. That's KENDRICKAST. Kendrickcast, I guess is what he would probably wants it to be said like, but it threw me. Hit him up and play that. Okay, great, good.
Hit him up.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, of course, to give us that Amazon Prime gaming subscription, but also to correct us when we get things wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Hard to find says, Tim said one button does three things, which would be insane, but I believe the triple key bindings is three buttons can be assigned to a single function.
Yes, that is correct. Does that make sense to you, Greg?
No, that's fine. It's the next one that was confusing to me, and I'm going to leave it. Oh, okay. Now I see what it's wrong. I'm the moron. Hoot Hoot says, Greg, Greg said Lance Barr retired from Canada instead of Nintendo. I don't believe Mr. Barr retired from a country. Yes, he retired from Nintendo where he was working. Thank you very much.
Gotcha. And to be clear about my triple key bindings things, what I was trying to do was bind things to half controller and half keyboard, which it lets you do. It just was crashing my shit.
Crazy.
So the future is here, everybody. Just not yet. It's delayed a little bit.
Tim, why not get the TARDIS, the thing that I got?
It's fine. That actually doesn't solve my problem, Kevin.
I understood.
Like, a lot of your wrongs, but breaking things.
You have it.
I have it, yeah. And it's like it's like doesn't feel that great. And the problem is when you rest your hand on it, up isn't up. It's like a diagonal up.
Frank Ferger writes in to tell us that the new Skate is also coming to PC, according to Bellion. There's a new date. Bravely Default 2 is coming to Steam September 2nd. And then Ignacio Rojas says that Saints Row 3 Remastered is free on Epic. So there's another deal of the day for you. Ladies and gentlemen, you're almost through this week. Congratulations. Tomorrow will be your final Kind of Funny Games Daily of the week. It will be me and Blessing. Of course, this show isn't quite over yet. You can follow us to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where we'll be doing a post show. Of course, if you want to stick around here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you should do that. They're playing Ghost of Tsushima Legends after this. Very exciting there. Kevin, are you excited?
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I got it on right now and I'm waiting. Great.
That's fantastic. I like that a lot. Blessing will be there too. Snowbike Mike will be there. It's going to be a good time. If you missed that live, of course, maybe you're listening later and you're thinking about going to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to give us that free sub I was talking about. Remember, you can get all of the gameplay streams over on youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Kind of Funny's newest YouTube channel. Please like, subscribe, share, click the notification bell on all three of our channels now where we put stuff up. It means a lot to us. Keeps the mics and the lights on. For now, Tim and I have to go talk about more video games in the post show. But until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.